Our second presenter this morning will be Brother Steve Dew from the Collinson, Louisiana Ecclesia. And his title, while following the theme, Personal Accounts of Baptism and Commitment, his title is, Why I Will Not Leave the Truth. Please give your attention now as we call upon Brother Steve Dew.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad that I can be here. You know, I've had troubles, right? Cancer. We don't know how blessed we are that we can just be here. Brother Adam called and asked me to talk about myself. Why I decided to come into the truth. Why I stayed. Why others leave. He asked me to talk about my experiences and problems that I've had. And I told him that's tough. He's asking a lot of someone. I talked to some others that he's talked to about the same thing, and some didn't want to do this. I told him also, if I get choked up, I said, you're going to be the first one. I want you to come up here and finish this up for me. So I said, you know, this is kind of like I've heard in churches, people talking about testimonials. Well, that's exactly what it is. So I want to make it a little bit lighthearted. I want to start off with a story that my granddad told my dad. My granddad was born in 1887. Things were a lot different in those days. So this happened a long time ago. He said he knew a man that was plowing in a field, and he had a friend that was friends with this guy. That friend climbed a tree that was close to that man. He got up in that tree and he hollered, go and preach the word. The man stopped in the middle of the field. And he looked around and looked everywhere. The man in the tree hollered again. He said, go and preach the word. And that guy laid the plow down, left the mule in the field and left. He went to be a preacher. And later on, they told him what had happened. That they played a joke on him. But he had turned into a preacher. You know, he probably didn't like being there in the field anyway and having to work hard and till. So he did what he wanted to do. But the whole time he thought he was doing the Lord's work. I've experienced the best things and I've experienced the worst. The best thing was my parents. They were honest and true. They were in the Lord. The Bible says to train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You're probably going to hear some of the same verses that were talked about this morning with Adam. But the subject matter is the same. When you're young, you can't realize how important the truth is and how much it regulates and rules your life. You begin to understand when you deal with others in the world, when you realize that you can't compete because you have rules and the world, they have none. That's when you know that you need God. It may take problems, death, or other troubles to make you accept the truth and for others to reject it. I've experienced death of those that are close. I've had troubles and experienced death of loved ones, friends, and acquaintances, both before and after baptism. I was baptized because I realized how fragile life is. I wanted a chance to live forever. My brother was 21 when he died in a car wreck, and it was very traumatic for all of our family. My friends, they all had a hard time. It's tough when you lose someone that's so young. When I was about 13, there was an accident where a woman ran into our service station. We worked on cars. That's the reason we like cars, I guess, me and my brothers. She ran into that station. She was screaming. She sounded like she was laughing and crying at the same time. I couldn't imagine what was going on with her. I thought she was crazy. Dad, he understood her. He grabbed a jack, a floor jack, a big one, and he ran with it. And he ran probably about as far as maybe down to the end of the cabin down here. He ran up the next street, and I was following. I couldn't keep up. The lady's husband was on her car. And if you remember, they used to put a post jack in cars that had one stand. It was just a one-leg jack. And that jack had fallen off of that car. And the car, the man had to hub the tire off the car, and the hub hit him right in the chest. Dad threw the jack on the car and jacked it off of him and pulled him out from under the car. He was dead. That was my first time to see somebody dead like that in an accident. And I've seen some things since then, but I won't talk about them. The woman was still hysterical. Those emotions make us so sick that we can't even talk, we can't express ourselves. And that makes me think about Job. Adam talked about him this morning. He was told to gird up his loins. And that's what we're told to do. But it's not always easy. It takes time to get over terrible things. It bothered me to see this woman, and it bothered me that I thought she was crazy. Extreme stress can change us forever. My dad had a first cousin. His name was Herbert. He was about the same age as my dad, and he was a brother. He was in the hospital. He had cancer in his shoulder. The doctor operated on him for something else, some other problem that he had. They were just letting the cancer ride. My dad asked me if I'd sit with him. He was complaining about pain in his shoulder, and he was in a terrible, terrible way because, they did the wrong thing to him. I asked the nurse to get him something for his pain, and she didn't do it. She just kept dragging around. I asked her two or three times. Well, I thought I was going to sit with him all night, but I didn't. My dad's brother came and sat with him. They were all friends, around the same age. That brother just died just a few days ago. And two or three days before he died, his son died. But Herbert's brother, as a brother, he had quit going to meeting. I always thought it was because of controversy, but my mother said he was always with his friends. He had other things to do. I think about him sometimes. He was a good brother. He was a good man. He suffered the last few hours of his life. I don't think I'm ever going to stop going to meetings. I pray that I keep the faith. And why is this? David in Psalms 139 tells us, because there's nowhere to turn, whither I shall go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence. Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If we are in the Lord, it is the best place for us to be under God's care. We have to do His will. I had cancer last year. It's a hard blow to hear that news. You think about your past. You think about your future. You think about things that you should have done. You think about those that are close to you. The things that you still need to do. I've got a lot of junk that I need to take care of. And I plan to do it if I ever get to retire. It's a blessing to have brothers and sisters who care about you and pray for you. The prayers of a righteous man avail much, we're told. We all know we're going to die, but we want to stay alive. Hezekiah prayed to God and was granted 15 more years. We don't know how much time we've got. We don't know what lays around the corner. You can have an accident. All you got is right now. Why do brothers and sisters turn away? Well, there are many reasons, but lately it's because of open fellowship. One thing that I heard from a brother recently is, I have not changed my belief. Well, I heard it indirectly. He told my son that. My question is this. Why were they participating at Memorial at Arkansas Bible School, believing in a lie? What they now have is open fellowship. Someone who says that their beliefs have not changed must not consider fellowship as part of their beliefs. Have they been participating in agreement with everyone? Well, no. Not if they've always believed in open fellowship. It's hard for me to understand a statement like that. Time will tell, because change is just around the corner. When open fellowship is allowed, what need is there for a statement of fellowship or a statement of faith? There is nothing to differentiate us from any other religion. A change of direction is imminent. Ecclesias that teach new or false things are on a different path, whether they believe it or not. Be patient and watch for what is next. To the person that says his views have not changed, that he still believes the same way, he must believe that others have changed, not him. Turn to Matthew 10, if you will, please. Verses 32 to 39. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. This is Jesus speaking. Family can cause the problem of open fellowship. It can be an opportunity to profess Jesus for a watchman. Or is it a man that does not do his job as a watchman and follows a family member rather than leading them? When is this man ever a watchman after this? Because he's a follower. We need to look forward to see what our family members are involved in. We need to make statements like watchmen. Examples would be, do not marry anyone in an open fellowship, or I will not be in fellowship with you. No, I won't be with my dad. I won't be with my dad again if we're all raised. This is exactly what he said. Another would be, if you marry and divorce and remarry in the Lord, you will not participate in our ecclesia. Is it confessing God if we let our family lead us? Our dad was asked this question. This was asked to him by a black man that he knew. He said, if your son told you he was a homosexual, what would you do? My dad said, I would kick his behind and I would run him off. Wouldn't have anything to do with him. The world is accepting of everything, but it doesn't mean that we have to. Verse 36 of Matthew 10 told us that a man's foes are of his own household. The ones that we love the most, that's our enemies. They can be our worst enemies. Jesus is talking about us of the household. If we do not do what he has commanded, we are his foes unless we do his will. It should be the same with our family. We have to love him more than our father, our mother, our son, our daughter. Love Jesus more. Those that follow their family are not watching. Have you ever heard these statements? And I heard them. Look at how many people would not be here at our ecclesia because of divorce. They would not come because they could not participate. We are told to strengthen the things that remain. We would be judging others when we are not perfect ourselves. We know we're not perfect. Everybody knows they're not perfect. We are supposed to let tares grow up among us and let God do the judging. I've heard about the tares several times. How do you answer questions in a few words? Well, you can. They were asking a few words, so answer back the same way. But it probably won't be heard. There are many exhortations and books to explain these statements. The problem is believing what a person wants to believe, looking for excuses to do what we want to do. To answer these questions the way they were asked, first, God is not concerned about numbers because the way is narrow. Answer questions with more questions. How do you strengthen an ecclesia with divorce and remarriage and the problems that are involved? We're told in the scriptures to judge righteous judgment, but do not condemn. We're told to refrain from all appearance of evil. It does not hurt for those involved with problems to take memorials at home. And one last appeal is, how do we abstain from the appearance of wrongdoing by allowing it to never end? Do we try to make the way wider for more people, for our families? Are we strengthening or weakening the things that remain? We make judgments every day. The question that remains is, are we strengthening God or are we allowing for flesh? Who do we put first in our judgments? Are there stumbling blocks that affect us? Are we holding fast to the traditions of men, of God or man? Tell me, are we forsaking all? Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, please. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know, we shouldn't let anybody turn us away. We shouldn't be with our friends when we should be at the ecclesia. Verses 6-17. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying and wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your heart, establish you in every good word and work. I'm going to jump around a little bit, talk about some different things. So just bear with it. It's all related. My sister was raised believing what we believe, but she moved away and was influenced by others, mostly her husband. Why is it important to marry only in the truth? Well, she is an example of what happens we are supposed to love the Lord first. Her husband says that if his mom is not in heaven, no one is. And my mom told him that he was very right. You can't have a conversation about the Bible with someone like this because they don't want to hear anything but what they know. Staying away from the ecclesia makes it easier and easier to stay away. Being with relaxed believers or open fellowship is the same thing. Easier to accept whatever is next. Pay attention to those that influence you, whether you're young or old. That's what Brother Adam just told us. This also is something that he said. We remember Job and his troubles, his losing of his family. He was told to gird up his loins in Job 38, verse 3. Turn there. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand it of thee, and answer thou me. Job 40, verse 7. Gird up thy loins now, like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I think he did this in verse 4 and 5 of chapter 40, because he put his hand over his mouth. God told him he would demand and declare it of him. Reading from Job, verse 4, chapter 40, verses 3 through 14. Job 40, verses 3 through 14. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. He's saying, he's going to tell him what the problem was. I think that's what he's saying. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me and thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold every one that is proud, and abase him. We talked about pride this morning, Brother Adam did. Pride has many aspects. People have pride that I've had it. I've had pride and didn't even realize that I had it. I think everyone does. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. That's what God does. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Behold, now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Who was he to question God? He was told that by questioning God's authority that he was prideful. He was told to gird up his loins and to accept what had happened. Look at chapter 41, verse 34. He beholdeth all high things. He is the king over all the children of pride. God's power exceeds everything. God tells Job and us that he is God, king over all the children of pride. Job did what he was told. He girded up his loins, he confessed his position, and his life was restored. Job realized it is a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. And we all need to realize that, you know, we can be there too. We need to do what we're told. We need to do what is right, so we won't fall away. We are told we may have to give up all to receive what is offered. If Job had not stopped speaking, he could not have girded himself up. What was he doing by considering his past? Look at Job 23, verses 2 through 4. Job 23, chapter 23, verses 2 through 4. Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with argument. Well, he was complaining, trying to figure out what had happened. He was wanting to justify himself. He was wanting to know what he had done wrong. Some things happen that are beyond us finding out. Job received twice as much as he had before. He girded up his loins. He did not let his former life consume him. He put away his depression and thoughts of his pride. He gave up his former family and moved on with his life. We should not allow ourselves to wallow in gloom and doom. We need to accept what we are given. If we force what we want, we're showing pride. This is probably how God sees a man that follows his family instead of leading them. How do you strengthen the things that are built on a false premise or belief? You can't. Change comes through sufferings in God's Word. I want to read about the attributes of a man. If you will, turn over to 2 Timothy 2. Verses 1 through 15. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 15. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. We force our ideas, we're not being dead with him, we're forcing ourselves, our own pride. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we follow our family to an open fellowship, what suffering have we done? There is no war. I want to conclude by reading some in Psalm 139, verses 1 through 17 and then 23 and 24. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast known my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? You know, there's no reason for us to leave. That verse right there tells us, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? If I take the wing of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light upon me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. And concluding with verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.